I would appreciate your prayers. I'd like to speak tonight on the subject of the grace of God. Probably ought to get a definition for that first, because there's a lot of different opinions about what the grace of God is. There's some believe that the grace of God, they say that it is a gift, and surely it is a gift. I had a guy say to me one time, he was talking about, he was taking the point of eternal security, and we was discussing that, and I asked him the question, what is the grace of God? And he said, it's a gift. And I said, yeah, but what is it? And he said, a gift. And I said, yeah, I know it's a gift, but what is the gift? And Brother Clint, I ended up saying to him, I said, okay, you know, somebody buys you a gift and they reach it to you wrapped up and says, here, your gift. And so you say, hallelujah, I got a gift. And somebody says, what did they get you for your anniversary? And you say, gift. I put it up on the mantle. There it says, it's a gift. Wasn't it wonderful that they got me the gift? But you got to open the gift. There's a gift. It is a gift, but what is the gift? So you open the package and you find out it is the enabling power. A divine enabling power is what grace is. It is really, really kin, taught to us by Brother Tony. It's really, really close. It's hard to say the difference between the fruits of the Spirit and the grace of God, because they're so interchangeable. When you say, I need grace, you may say, I need more patience. I need grace for this situation. I need more for love for that brother. It's really close to there, but we need a definition for it, because it's not, as some people say, a lot of Christian groups believe that the grace of God is a blanket that is over people that claim the name of Christ, that God, looking down on them, does not see the hideous behaviors under the blanket. He sees the grace of God. It's a gift. And so it covers the activities of men's lives. And therefore comes the famous saying that we can appreciate it from the Christian point of view of the humanity, the humility of it. But there is people that use this statement as a virtue. It's such a virtue for the Christian world to say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I don't claim anything but being a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. In other words, I don't have an enabling power. I have a blanket over me. And that's what grace is. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Or we say it in a different way. I was a sinner. Now I'm saved by grace. I am a Christian because of grace. Because we have to say, where sin abounds, the grace does much more. God has grace. Because of grace, the Bible gives us some of the highest standards of life. Not because of humanity, but because of what Christ did and brought to us by grace. He can say to us, love your brother. Well, what if he ain't good to me? Love your brother. He can say, love your enemy and pray for them that despitefully use you.
The highest thing, how can I achieve such a thing as powerful as love? How can I achieve something like that where somebody's abusing me? How can I possibly do that? He can say that to us because there is a divine enabling power available to us. That if we avail ourselves of the grace of God, we can overcome all of that part of humanity that fights against it. I know there are struggles in life, and I'm not belittling them at all, but because of the grace of God, you can say to someone who has an unsaved companion, you can be pleasing to God in that relationship. You can have grace in that situation. You can have a power in that situation to do what's acceptably right with God right in the middle of that and overcome what the devil is trying to do. Because of grace, God has said to us, go into all the world because of grace. It was because of grace that he could say, go into all the world. Because of the scripture I want to start with, I'll go ahead and read it. Which one do I want? James 1 and 27. It's a common scripture. I'll go ahead and read it. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and while you're doing the works of God, and while you're called to do those different things and go into those different missions and do all those things that you can do, because you may be called to some of the most ungodliest places, because you may have to, God never intended for His people to hole up. It isn't a part of the plan. Why? Because there's grace of God. Because of the grace of God, He says that pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and to keep Himself unspotted from the world. So how am I possibly going to go through this defiled, corrupted world? How am I going to be able to do those things which He charges us to do? He charges us to take the gospel. He charges us to go into areas sometimes. He charges us to do that. And why can it be done? Because of the grace of God. Because there is a power to avail ourselves of, to where we can step into those things and have a power to be able to keep ourselves clean right in the middle of it. I had occasion one time, Linda will remember this, it was years ago. We was leaving the Wisconsin tent meeting, and I don't remember all the details of it, but somehow or another we ended up going to go over and visit Brother Norm Zacharias over at his place. He had, back when he had the old dairy barn, and we got there, and we was there during, and all of a sudden it was milking time. So we stayed there long enough, and I went with Brother Norm to his dairy barn, and he said, come on in, and we'll talk while I milk. And you know, he let the cows, and done the whole things with the cows, and I don't know how many people's familiar with dairy barns, but they are dairy barns. I mean, they're dairy barns, and anybody let in, and the old cows come in, and they're pretty anxious to get in there. It's a relief to them to come. They come in, and they have usually food in the stall, and they come in, and they're trained, they're tame, and then it comes in, and he starts the process of milking, and I noticed that these cows all had the same behavior, and I stepped back, and he was always moving out of the way, and I determined I was going to stay out of the way. I had my traveling clothes on. We was going to drive all the way back to West Virginia, and I was going to stay out of there, and I wasn't going to be contaminated. And what was like the story Brother Clint was telling today? I felt like I'd done a fabulous job of staying back, and we talked and all of that. And you could smell the dairy everywhere, of course, and all there. And after it was over, I ended up saying goodbyes, and we shook hands and ended up heading on our journey
to West Virginia. And I want to tell you something. Just by being in that barn, I believe every bit of me saturated the smell of that dairy barn. That dairy barn was all over me, my shoes, my pants, my hair, my hands. I got in the van and it was immediately like, well, after a while you kind of get used to it till you get out and get back in. It's like that. I was saturated. I couldn't stay out of that. But do you know what? By the grace of God, He says to us to keep yourself unspotted from the world. And we have analogies and things in the Bible that gives us such courage and such a hope of these kind of things. There was a time that the three Hebrew children dared. They dared to do something that was so fantastic. To have faith in God. To have faith in God to an extent that they said, we're not even careful, O King, mightiest King of his era. The mighty King that could say, die, you die. He was the mighty King, and yet their King was greater. They wasn't disrespecting him. They wasn't trying to be belligerent or anything. They simply said, we're not careful in answering you in this matter, because this is our faith. Is God going to deliver us? But if he's not, which we can err in what God's judgment is, but I'm not erring in this. It's not right for me to bow down. Why can he say such a thing as that? I know it was in the Old Testament time, but I'm going to tell you, it speaks of the power of God that they did that. It speaks of the grace of God that was given to them, that they was able to say, we're not even careful in answering. We're not bowing down. We'll give you another chance. You can give us all the chances you want. We're not bowing down. Well, there's only one thing left. We're not bowing down. So he cast them into the midst of the fire. How can we go through the midst of the fire? But I want to tell you something that's very important in here. There's a grace of God to go to the fire with. It's not just doing it. But so when I say I have to do it, I'll shrink from that. I'll shrink. I'll draw back from that. I still think it's a miracle that I can stand up here and do this with the way I saw things and the way I was and my shyness, all that, to even do that. It's by the grace of God that we can walk and do the things that we can do. So they threw them in there. I don't know if they had an inkling to what was going to happen. They said that our God will deliver us. But here, well, he ain't delivered us yet, right to the moment. Throw them in. They didn't perish, but the ones that threw them in did. And threw them into there. And do you know when they come out of there, it wasn't like me in the dairy barn. They didn't have the smell of smoke on them. The scripture says that the pure religion was to minister to the fatherless and to the widows and to do those things of love and caring that God's heart is on. And while we're doing it, and as we reach through all of this corrupt world and go through all of its stuff, yet at the same time, we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We're not to think the way they think. We don't pick up what they pick up. And they were thrown into that, and when they got through, they didn't have the smell of smoke on them. How can you be in a fire so directly, so touched by it? Brother Sammons used to say things like this when his messages. And I remember one time him telling about, he said, did you ever notice that you go out, they go out to the ocean and they catch these fish that's swimming around all the time, all their life. They swim around out there in that extreme salt water. And when you take them out and clean them, you got to put salt on them to eat them. There ain't no salt in there. You got to salt them to flavor. After them being out there all that time, they had a way of going through all that salt water and not getting salty. They wasn't affected by it at all. So Jesus, at one time, goes to the land of the Gadarenes. Remember? He goes to the land of the Gadarenes, and there was a man there. And he was possessed of the devils. He had these spirits that were so many that his name was Legion. He had all these spirits, and I think he lived in the tombs, and he cut himself, and they tried to fetter him with chains, and somehow there was a superhuman strength or something that would break the chains, and no man could tame this guy. And no ability or power over this man at all. But Jesus come by, and he spoke authority. He spoke power. He spoke authority. When Jesus got through dealing with this situation, the man that was naked and cutting himself and was a wild man in the tombs, he sat at Jesus' feet, clothed, and in his right mind. And he says to the Lord, I'm paraphrasing, but if I remember this story, he says to the Lord, I'll go with you. Well, I understand that. The kind of benevolence that he would have felt of that deliverance must have been strong. Nobody could do what this man done. I was completely consumed by this, and it was evil and rotting, and the feeling that must have been had, and he's out of that in his right mind, and what a hope, what a change. And he said, I'll go with you. Jesus said, no. You stay here. And show the mighty works of God. Why? How can you say that? Lord, how can you say it so confidently? So confidently. No, I got this one. I got this one. He's there. By the grace of God. By the grace of God, you don't have to ever go back to that tomb. By the grace of God, you don't have to fall to those things ever again. There is a grace that I'm going to empower you with that you can go and tell the works of God, and you don't have to be affected by those things. It is charged to us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We ought not to think like them. We're not to have these things on us, and we don't get the smears and the smudges and all of these things that the world is trying to give to us. The world is wicked and all of these things, and he wants to try to manipulate our minds to think the way it thinks. By the grace of God, we heard a message today that isn't natural to us. Humility. It's not natural for us to do it. It's more natural to flare up. But the song that the brother was talking about, a stream, I always visualized that and loved it because I've dealt with those kind of things a lot in my life and saw it. And a stream finds a bed that is lowly. What a description. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but what a description. Water seeks its own level. And it'll come into a pool and it has to start at the bottom. It finds its way to the bottom. That's what we're supposed to do. Find our way to the bottom. Because in due time, we're going to rise as a bed. And there's going to come to a time that it'll fill a pool and then it's going to spill over. But it will always seek the lowest place and then fill up from the bottom. You know, that's what he wants us to do. By the grace of God, he wants us to fill up the bottom until we get all the way up to the top. And what we get from the Lord is supposed to be built from the bottom. But how can I? I mean, I have the pride of a mountain man. I have the pride of the Clemengers. I have the pride of the family. I have the pride of being able to do that. I have the pride of that. I'm going to do that by the grace of God. I need something that's bigger than me to help me to do these things. And that's what the Lord is offering to us. The package isn't to admire. The gift isn't just to set and admire. I got a gift. We all got a gift. I want to know what's in there. Let's open it and see how far. Let's see how far that can take me. There's an idea. Grace is like manna, right? With the manna, there was no storage. I find grace for this battle that don't carry on to tomorrow's battle. I find the pursuit of grace.
I find a place of grace. I find the God that has the grace. And I can have victory after victory and need grace. And have victory after victory after victory and come into a situation to where I need grace. There in a way there's a being graced up, but so many times you run into things that you never knew and the humanities and all the things over there. But by the grace of God, it says to keep yourself unspotted from the world. And what the devil wants to do in our lives, he wants the spots. He wants the spots in our life. He wants to do something and be in something enough to get us into a place that we don't avail ourselves of the grace of God. Because we have to avail ourselves of that gift. We have to get that gift that the Lord's given us and avail ourselves of that grace that God has. I had a guy, most of you know this story, but several years ago, I got into this place with this guy, and the guy was so angry, and that happens sometimes. And the Lord knows I had no malice and never would have intended anything like this to happen, but it was a marker for me. It was a place. Thank God for the things that the Lord lets us go through for maturity. We never pick these kind of places. But I had this guy with his finger on the trigger of his rifle and had the rifle against my head, and he was gritting his teeth, and I'm going to blow your head off. And well, that wasn't pleasant. That wasn't fun. And I had grace. I had grace through it. I never responded in a way that I had to apologize or anything. But the nights are long. And the miles are long and the nights are long. And there was times I'd be driving the highway and all by myself and the family asleep. And the old devil comes to spot me. To give me a spot in my soul. To say hatred. To say you should have done something. Nobody should be able to treat you that way, and you know you was capable enough you could have done something against that guy. You should have done it. Oh, the old devil ever talk to you? Comes in talking to us saying, I'm going to say this. I prayed for that man's soul until I got victory. And Sister Mary, it was and then after that I prayed for that victory, and after that I prayed for that victory, and there was another time I prayed for that victory. Because it was an ongoing place that I had to fight the devil with. I had to fight him. And it was the grace of God that I can say today, my full intent for this guy is that he be saved. I would do what I could do for that man if I could help him to be saved. That's the grace of God. So as we go through life, we're gonna be challenged, and sometimes we get into this. This is a personal place with me, and somehow the battle becomes confined down to this is what the battle is, and many people lose the sight of what the real battle is. The real battle is to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Keep your soul unspotted. Keep yourself clean before the Lord. It's more important to know that God's approving of me and I've done it right. I even had, after that, I told the story and preached about it. I even had a few ministers even say it and come to me and said, I don't think you handled that right. I had people say to me, but I don't think you have to put up with that like that. I don't think you have to do that. Okay. But I'm going to tell you, I had a wild man attacking me, and he couldn't hurt me. I ain't saying I'm invincible, or surely I ain't. A gun racked on my head didn't hurt me. His fist hitting me didn't hurt me. He tried to pull me out of the truck, and I just sat there and like I was energyless, and he couldn't pull me out of the truck. He couldn't touch me. He couldn't hurt me. He couldn't do nothing to me. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, I didn't have to be bitter and hate and kill him. And I didn't have to do it because God took my part. I was amazed when I come out there. That guy couldn't touch me. He couldn't do anything. He tried and he tried and he gritted his teeth and he yelled and he hollered and he hit and he done all that. And he couldn't touch me. I come out of there not any worse for wear. He couldn't do nothing. And it was a testimony to me. I still have my testimony.
And I battled until my soul was clear. And I don't hate the man that done that to me. And the scripture said and laid the charge to me. What am I supposed to do when somebody despitefully uses me? Well, I'm going to have to wrestle with that one. What should I do with that one? No, I got the instruction. Why did he tell us to do something so hard, so extreme? The grace of God. He did not leave us powerless, folks. He didn't say to do something and somehow get there. He said, I'll give you a gift. Something that don't belong to you and you can't buy it. But if you live for me, I'll give you something that's powerful in your life. Something that you can really work with and deal with your with things in your life. We get contorted. Lord help us. We get bent out of shape. Sometimes about the small things of life. I speak of her often, but she's such an example to me that the Ugandan girl that we help support and stuff, Brenda, lived most of her life out in the weather, under bridges and culverts. She eat out of the dumpsters. She clothed herself with boxes and bags. She had that kind of life. And I almost dare somebody in my presence sometimes to say, I'm saying inside me, I think this, I almost dare you to say that you got slighted somewhere in life. You got slighted in life and you went to bed. You took a hot shower and you went to bed and you ate all you could before you went to bed and you had a fine home to be and you drove your car and somehow life has slighted you. We get so bent out of shape sometimes. And there's and she went through all of these things and somehow through all of these things of abuses and everything in her life, she found the Lord and has a smile on her face and says, thank the Lord of the smallest things. By the grace of God. By the grace of God, she didn't hate the people that done it to her. By the grace of God, she overcome all these things. So I said, I told her one time, what a life that you've lived. And she said, you're kidding me. I've lived this life has been so hard. I said, that's what I mean. I've lived the easy life and smile sometimes. You smile all the time after your life. And what God's done for you. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. He said, you can go through this. Poverty. Lacks. You can go through distresses. You can go through harms and hurt. Not by a power that I own. By a power that God gives me to go through them with. Thank God for the grace. I've told this many times, but it was like the ultimate of grace. My first wife, Tammy, some of you knew her. She was dying. She was coming down to that point of dying. And I was at my wit's end with the emotional side and the stress of life and the children and all of the things that was bombarding me. And I remember where I was standing and I said to the Lord, Lord, I was going to quit. But I said to the Lord, I'm at the end of my rope, Lord. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. I'm at the end of my rope, Lord. You're going to have to do something. And then in the sincerity of my soul standing right there, I felt like the windows of heaven burst open and this grace of God poured over my soul to the point, I'm going to tell you what, that I said there, Lord, if you'll keep this, there's nothing can stop me. The circumstances did not change. Nothing changed. The labor, the work, the hurt, nothing changed. But the power of grace that poured over my soul when I said to the Lord, I'm good now, Lord. I'll make it through this. And I'll get to the other side. Paul said, by the grace of God, I have fought a good fight. What did you do, Paul? I fought with beasts at Ephesus. I was shipwrecked. I was whipped. I was beat. I fought a good fight because I'm bringing to the Lord what He gave me. He gave me the grace to be shipwrecked. He gave me the grace to be whipped. He gave me the grace to be looked at as the devil and people that I begot to the Lord. He gave me grace to see them go away and slight me in the way they went. He gave me grace to be in prison. He gave me grace to put the irons on my legs. He gave me grace to be able to say, of them old Roman shackles on his leg, and he writes the book and says, Paul the Apostle, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, I'm not going to fault you, Roman soldier. I'm not going to fault you, government, for doing this. God has had his way in my life. You couldn't put these on me. God put them on me, and he gave me grace to speak the truth to you. That's what the Lord wants us to do. And he wants us, as we go through this life, to realize we're not the hoe up, we're not the back up. There's places that we stay out of. That's a different message. But I want to tell you, the grace of God will work where you put. He wouldn't send you anywhere without enough grace to take care of it. There's another story in the scriptures. Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, starts preaching the word. He starts preaching and he starts upsetting people. The more he preaches, the more he's upsetting people. The devil had a hand in this. The devil says, I got to take one last try. Here's the idea. We'll make him suffer and hurt. We'll pound him with stones. We'll make them so mad, we'll rile up in their hearts and their minds, and they'll stone him. And the idea is that we'll get hatred in his heart. He's standing here and proclaiming this big idea about what God is. Can you stand it? Stephen, can you stand your own preaching now? Here comes the rocks. Here comes the stones. Thank God. You know why I love the story of Stephen? Because you can point to the story of Jesus and his crucifixion and his suffering and say he was the Son of God. This is the first count of the flesh. A man in the flesh that had the Holy Ghost. And by the grace of God, he preached the Word of God. And they stoned him all the way to death. But instead of allowing hatred to fly up in his heart, by the grace of God, he loved his persecutors. He even asked the Lord not to lay it to their charge. Don't for my sake, Lord, it's okay. Don't charge them with it. What a thing to say. How can you say that to somebody that's hating you like that? So diabolically against you, to destroy you, that's hating you and wants to destroy you. And yet, by the grace of God, that man told the Lord, don't lay it to their charge. Thank God. That's why the Lord has said some of the strongest things that he charges us with to do, to love and to do right and do those kind of things, because there in the wake is always enough grace. There's always enough grace to carry us through. And that's been exemplified through the scriptures over and over again by the godly people, that the power of God was able to keep them. They took old Daniel, who was exemplary in his character. But there's a few men in the Bible that don't have something negative said about it. But if you can find something negative about Daniel, you'd have a hard time. He was an extremely devout man. And when the king's decree come out, by the grace of God, he prayed just like before. By the grace of God, he done what he had always done. But by the grace of God, the very king that allowed him to be done that way. You could have a lot of criticism against the political winds here. And the king that done that, you ought to have been wiser than that or whatever. But he threw Daniel into there. And what did Daniel say? O king, live forever. Still a man of integrity. Throw him into the lion's den. Do all that, and yet with all of that, a man of integrity. O king, live forever. Live forever. Jesus on the cross, what an example of one who looked and said, Father, forgive them. They know what they do. They're not allow the things, all of these things to touch him. That shows us this is what Jesus done and what we're the pattern that we follow. Down through there. The grace of God. Well, familiar scripture in Book of Titus. Most people could quote this one. This is a very quotable verse. Titus 2 and 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Where? Where? In the middle of the muck? The grace of God teaches us what? In the middle of the dairy. It's teaching us that you can have, this is what the grace of God is teaching. That you can live soberly, righteously, and godly. Not in the world to come. Not like the ones that believe that the grace is a blanket. It's teaching us that right in the middle of all the gunk that's to spot up your life. Right in the middle of the hatred towards Christianity. Right in the middle of the ungodliness and perverseness of this world that is trying to destroy home and family. Right in the middle of this old lascivious world that's full of lusts and cravings and all that. Right in the middle of that, Lord, is that what the grace of God is trying to, it's trying to say don't hoe up? It's trying to say that there's some power beyond me in my life that I can avail myself of, that by the grace of God I can turn my head the way I need to turn it. By the grace of God I can say the words that need to be said. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. I can live soberly and righteously. Because the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared. It appears to the ministry because they need it. Well, that's a fact. But that ain't all. It's appeared all men. That means kind to women. All kind. All mankind. The grace of God has appeared to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Teaching. It's teaching. It's teaching us what? That this amazing grace, amazing power, is available. It's available to everyone that will put them, avail themselves to it. You can have it in this, and you can have the grace. I believe this today. And if I come up short, I'm coming up short of the grace of God. When it doesn't work, it's because we come up short of availing of the grace of God. Because I believe that there is a grace to love our enemies with. I believe, y'all stick with me now, we live in the world, and he does not want us spotted. I know this is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough one. But there's a certain kind of honor that the Lord expects his people to give where honor is supposed to be. And you don't have to like the president. It doesn't mean that he's not corrupt. It doesn't mean whatever that. There's the grace of God. To be what the Bible teaches us to be. And it wasn't just the good kings that's supposed to be honored. It was all that was to be honored for the place that they were in. Not for their evil, but there was an honor that went with us. And if we're not careful, we're going to be spotted by the political winds. We're going to be spotted by the things that's out there and what the world's grumbling about and what they're pushing and what their agendas are. We're going to be spotted by those kind of things. I'll just tell you the truth about something. It's been a few years ago, but I remember in a political realms, I remember this guy, this certain senator was talking and stuff like that, and something welled up in me, and I said, that guy, if I could do something, if I could get that, I would. You know, the Lord checked me and said, "You that attitude that I was holding I knew when the Lord checked me why he checked me. That ain't the way I want you to think. You're above it. You live above that by the grace of God. This ain't our kingdom anyway. This ain't our world anyway. Yeah, we want the best for it. But there's a grace, folks, there's a grace to live life by. Grace to me speaks, and I know Stephen was quite boisterous and he preached the word, and there's a part of that. But grace to me means I walk out the door and approach my neighbor kindly. I remember some of the things that happens and what grace means to me and how thankful I can be for the grace. We raised these chickens one time and we hatched them out and I had two, but one rooster particularly, he was a mixed colored rooster, and I really liked these chickens. And we raised this one from an egg, you know, we incubated it and everything, and it was the prettiest rooster. It was a white rooster, but it wasn't a pure like the Dominic or the white roosters. It had a mix of rooster in it, and so it had the prettiest neck feathers, and his tail feathers was colored and pretty, but most of him was white. He was the prettiest. He was the rooster I was keeping, right? I had these. He's the one I'm going to keep. And so we had these different ones, hens and roosters that we had hatched and all these. And my neighbors got these little vicious dogs. They were bred for just tearing up stuff. I mean, you want them little dogs. And they just like to chase anything and tear it up. And so anytime they was in there, they just saw my chickens over there free ranging in my yard. And I know what they was doing. Well, they get out this particular evening and the children are screaming, "Oh, the dogs are at the chickens," and I hear a commotion and all that, and I'm sitting in there, "Oh no, my chickens is this." And they got out there and the neighbors come running, or at least the wife did. She came over and they got the dog and all this, and I heard somebody say, "Oh good, they only got one." I said, "One." One. It was like, I knew which one. I knew which one it was. You know which one it was? You want to guess which one it was? You want to try to figure the story out? Yeah, it was that rooster, of course. It was that rooster. I know what I could have felt. But I went out and greeted my neighbors, very apologetic. I could have said, "Keep them dogs." You know, I mean, but I went out by the grace of God and said, stuff happens. It's hard to control dogs. They offered me, that wasn't the first time the dogs did it, okay? She ended up coming over and offered me a $50 gift card because I wouldn't let her pay for the chicken, so they offered me a $50 gift card. I said, "Not a chance, Jane, not a chance." "Oh," said, "you need to take us. We feel so bad." I said, "Not a chance." Because I'd have to keep that gift card. And then when my dog got over and messed up in your yard, I'd have to give you a card. And I ain't paying you no card. But by the grace of God, you go out with love. By the grace of God, there wasn't no mind that I was going to go out there and throw a fit. By the grace of God, I wasn't willing to hurt them. They were humbled by it. They hated that it happened. By the grace of God, can we get along by the grace of God? I mean, can we look over faults by the grace of God? By the grace of God, can't the world be better? Wasn't it intended to make things better? By the grace of God, the love and the joy and the peace and the things that come by the grace of God, that's what grace, the grace of God is teaching us, that living soberly, righteously, and godly, right in the middle of the neighbors with the dogs, right in the middle of where the drunks over there and the drug addicts over there, right in the middle of the time in the place to where they're doing the things that's unseemly around you, it's teaching us that right in the middle of that, your soul can be kept. And you can love the unlovable. And you can reach out to those that's unlike you. And this isn't fake or fraud. I'm not ever into that. I'm into the reality of it. And if it's not real, we'll deal with it. I'm into the reality of it, and the reality of it is this is where it has to stand in our hearts. By the grace of God, we can do these things. We can help by the grace of God. My sister one time got a new car, and she, brand new car, and went to the camp meeting, first time, went to the camp meeting in Green Bank, and a brother scratched down the side of it with his car. He went down the side of it with his car. He kind of asked if it was a scratch on it. Brand new car. He was so apologetic. Oh, no, all this. I still remember my sister saying, "Brother, it's only a car." Oh, but it's only a car. By the grace of God, it's my brother. That's what it all means. By the grace of God, I said this. I can walk out to the street where I live, and my neighbor, who in other places have had sometimes hard to get along with places, I can walk over there anytime and have a great fellowship with the guy. I can do it with his wife. I can go over there because of the grace of God. There has been a calmness that settles over the community and over the place. The devil's going to try to stir it, but it's the grace of God that brings the peace and brings all that in it. So I want just to give this message that he didn't intend the grace of God to be hid away somewhere. It was to be lived in a world with all the goings on around it so that the world could see. What makes those people different? What makes them do the things that they do? How do they, I'll say through the grace of God, there's a lot of commotion in the world, and when people get, I recently seen some of the protesting and stuff that's going, and once they moved them out, the whole place was destroyed. The trash, the bushes was tore out, the trash was all over the place. Do you know when the saints and the people with grace of God goes into a place, it's better when they leave. If there was trash there when they got there, they'll clean it up. By the grace of God, we leave things better. That seems mundane, maybe simple. But by the grace of God, you pick up stuff and you do stuff. By the grace of God, there's a heart in it. And you make things better where you go. And you leave a comforting word to people. They don't have to be like you. You can leave it. The grace of God will allow us to leave a comforting word to people that ain't like us. I actually like to run into people that's not like me. I'm going to tell you one more story. I'll try to be quick. A few months ago, I was sitting at home and I got a message on Messenger from Brother Kenneth Probst. And I said to my wife, I said, "Honey, you suppose this one's a scam? I mean, since he's been dead for 3 weeks, I mean, you think maybe that this is a scam? Unless you can message from the great beyond, this one's a scam." I didn't have to work too hard on that one. This one's a scam. Behind scams are people, and people have souls. So I don't advise everybody for this, but I kind of get excited when I get to a chance for somebody like this, and so I got a chance for this one. So this guy starts off and says, "Hi, how you doing?" Oh, and I said, "Fantastic, I'm blessed. How you doing?" "Oh," said, "I just got through with strep throat and different things, and you know, and went through a conversation." Well, we got so far in the conversation, and I was convinced that by a few factors, one of them is that people, especially from Africa that I deal with, use certain phrases, like they don't say "I'm" or "I am," they say "am good." Am good. It's very common for them to do it. All of them do it. And so he used that, and another one was "somehow good." "Well, how are you doing?" "Somehow good." It means if you've dealt with those people, it's a little bit of a pity for myself thing, and it's what it's saying is I'm good, but you would never think it. I'm somehow I got to a good place. Somehow, but don't look at it because I'm doing good that I'm really in a good place. Somehow, I'm good. And he used the phrases that I said, okay, I know where this guy's from, or generally where he's from. And so I end up saying to him, "Hey, brother, where are you from?" "United States of America." Well, nobody in the United States of America is going to tell you United States of America. They'd say Atlanta. or they'd say Manhattan. Or, I mean, I'd say something. We're going to say, you know. And I said, "No, really, where are you from?" He said, "Well, I'm from Alaska," because that's what's on Brother Kenneth's. So it's South Alaska. And I said, "Brother, I want to tell you something. You don't have, are you proud of what you're doing?" I said, "You don't have to do this. God's got more for you than this. You don't have to live this kind of a life. You got more for you than this." And I said, "You're not Kenneth Probst, okay? He died 3 weeks ago. Not only that, you use the term 'am good,' which that's a phrase from Africa. You're from Africa somewhere. Where?" And he was hesitant to tell me, but I ended up saying to him, "Listen, I want you to know something. There's no condemnation in my heart for you. All I want to do is try to help. If there's some way I can help you, don't look at me as somebody that's condemning you. I'm not. I want to help. And if there's any way I can help you, I would be glad to be able to help you in some way or another." And he ended up, this man that was fraudster, but he ended up, actually, we got off of Kenneth's site and went on to mine, and I'm still friends with him today. We still message one another back and forth. I have not got him convinced to get rid of his trade. I mean, he taught us, when I asked him about being proud of that and all that, he told me, he said, "Brother, it's survival." That's what he told me. "I'm in survival mode. I've got young siblings. We got family. We have no choice. And I got to do something. That's what I'm doing." Some of those things touch me. But by the grace of God, you don't have to do that. By the grace of God, you don't have to do that. I'm not naturally this way, folks. It's the grace of God that makes me want to help people like that. You know that I ended up actually getting a video call. I video called him and I talked to his mom. I actually met his mom and talked to his family, you know. And actually, he got to the place to trust me to that. He's only a part of a system. What they do in the system is he was only a part of a system. He don't even know what he does any good. All he does is links up with the information, and once you hit what he's trying to get you to, he has nothing to do with it. He's only a middle person to get you to hit something. And after you do that, he's not a computer guy or anything. He was a phone guy. He was a guy that was, that's all he done all the time. That's what he done. But God's grace, I know how we feel about people that cheat and steal. But God's grace can do something else. I told him God loved him. Did I tell him wrong? Did I tell him wrong? If God loves him, then God loves you, brother. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do it. I never got to any kind of financial help or help him in any way, because he was elusive enough that, for one thing, he was a scammer, and he was elusive enough he wouldn't let me. He wouldn't trust enough to let me to critique him enough to do anything. There was no way I could get him anything. He didn't have any. He didn't want to give information where he lived. I mean, he didn't want to give the stuff up because he's a scammer. But yet I can pray for him and I encourage him, and he'll still message me from time to time, and he'll message me, and I can do an encouraging. But what I'm saying is that the scripture said that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying worldly lust, that we can live soberly, righteously, and godly among people like that and make a difference in people's life. And I'll leave that to you, because you're going to run into people and the people around you, and God's got the grace enough for us, instead of looking at it like that, to look at it with a great heart of God's pity. They're lost and undone in a broken world, and I sent grace to help them. Get the grace to them. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.
Brother Marty, would you read that scripture in Hebrews 4:16 to us? Because that's soulful.
Is that coming boldly? Hebrews 4 and 16. I can even comment on it. That's one of my favorite ones. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I want to say something with this scripture that I almost always say with the message today. The term bold, the opposite of humility is pride, not boldness. You can humbly, boldly come, because that's not an opposite. The opposite of humility is pride, not boldness. And the boldness is not our boldness. We don't come because we got anything. The boldness lies in the fact that Christ died for us, and we're looking to that and saying, I can come boldly because Jesus done something. And I can come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There is always grace.